In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, I love preaching on men's issues and women's issues and issuing a bit of a challenge. And today the challenge goes out to men. And men, don't worry, at one point I'll have a talk for the women called How to Make Your Husbands Happier, surely not to disappoint. But today I call this homily, Men Are the Problem, Men Are the Solution. Men are the problem, men are the solution. Now, everybody knows that both genders sin, and everybody knows that both genders can come to great holiness and sanctity, but the difference is that everybody knows about the influence a good mother has on a family. Sometimes it's harder to see the great importance of a man, the great importance that a good dad makes. And recent studies have made some incontrovertible proofs to this that I want to point out in today's homily. It ties into the readings. I'm going to use some secular statistics just so you don't think I'm promoting one gender over the other. And last disclaimer is this homily is not to make single moms or kids with non-Catholic dads feel bad. It's to help young girls as they grow up look for good men, but especially this is to help the fathers of our parish see that they can make a world of difference for literally thousands of generations is what it says in the Bible. Thousands of generations is what one man can make a difference with. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians today, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." So again, he says, I bow my knees before the Father from whom every family in heaven and earth is named. So why on earth is every family in heaven named after God the Father? This is because the Father is the spiritual head of the source, not in the oppressive way that we sometimes think of authority, but as the beginning source of life. Spirituality, too, in a family, the Father is the thermostat, not the thermometer. His silent holiness or his secret sins both set the pattern for his whole family. I often ask young high school girls, do you ever imagine the day when you get on your knees and propose to your husband or your future husband? And they all giggle and say, no, he's going to do it. He's going to get on his knees before me and ask. And it's amazing that even in this society that is very gender relativizing, with all the movies and everything on TV, young girls, even in the secular world, know they still want their future husband to get on their knees and propose to them. This is because man is supposed to take the lead, and everybody knows it. And there's nothing more attractive to women than men who not only physically protect the family, but spiritually protect the family. But the fish stinks from the head down, as the saying says. So let's look at the first statistic. And again, remember the first part of this homily is why men are the problem. We'll get to the good news in a minute. So why men are the problem? I don't know if you saw that there was this adultery website. I think it's called Ashley Madison. And the motto is, life is short, have an affair. And there's 40 million people. I was so depressed when I learned there was 40 million people on this website. Well, Annalie Newitz, she's editor-in-chief of an online news service, she found that 20 million men checked their account. 20 million men were registered for this. Now, that might not sound like shocking math, since half of 40 million is 20 million. But here's where this is really interesting. You had 20 million men checking their accounts. Only 1,492 women did. 20 million versus 1,492. Now, this isn't pornography. This is a dating website for married people. So where are the other 20 million? They're fake accounts. This is what the mainstream media isn't telling you. This is because it shows how different men and women are. In fact, on that website, for every time a woman checked her adultery account, 13,585 men checked theirs. For every time a woman checked her account, almost 14,000 men checked theirs. And this is supposed to be a 50-50 adultery account where you meet people. So Ms. Newitz concluded that, quote, the women's accounts show so little activity that they might as well not be there, end quote. So what we see is that although both genders sin, who are the primary ones out there destroying the families? It's the men. I can say that confidently from the pulpit. We have the statistics for things like this to see. It's the men, usually. But that's pretty statistically significant. Why? Well, forgive the stereotype, but women are naturally good and heroic. Just look at childbirth. It automatically makes you naturally good and heroic. But a man needs to fight to make it to that point. And when a man does get to that point, he becomes heroic and good, and it goes to the 1,000th generation. It even makes the news. I was telling Father Forte about this homily, and he pointed out what happened in my home state of Colorado. Remember when we had the theater shootings a couple years ago? I was living in Colorado. It's my home state. And what really made the news with this whole thing is men leaped in front of their girlfriends and their wives to take the bullets. And I think some of them saved lives. So it shows it's still alive in men. There's still something in the American male spirit that is alive that wants us to lay down our lives. So that brings me to part two. Men are the solution. Again, this first stat, remember, this is nothing against the women here married to non-religious men. It's just a secular study that came out in Switzerland in 1995. This is what it says. If both father and mother attend church regularly, 33% of their children will end up as regular churchgoers, and 41% will end up attending irregularly. Only a quarter of their children will end up not practicing at all. If the father is irregular in his churchgoing and mother regular, only 3% of the children will become subsequent regulars of church. The other way around, it proposes this. What happens if the father is a regular churchgoer, but the mother is irregular or non-practicing? Extraordinarily, this study says, the percentage of children becoming regular goes up from 33% to 38% with the irregular mother and to 44% with the non-practicing. In other words, what it's saying is children will usually follow the pattern of their mother's religious life from 0 to 13, but from 13 to 99, they will follow their father's religious patterns. This is just a statistical stat. It's not me making a judgment. Children will follow their mother's religious pattern from 1 to 13. They will follow their dad's launched into adulthood. Do you see the importance of men being the spiritual leaders of their family? It will make an enormous difference in how the families are lived. So last quick part here, just three very practical ways for dads to grow in holiness, and we'll end with this. The first comes from the gospel today, where Jesus is describing where you sit when you're invited to a wedding. And it's really like weddings today. You know, when you walk into a wedding and you've got the bride and the groom, and then maybe the priest is next to him, and then you kind of wonder, how important am I? Am I at the table right next to him, or am I 30 yards away? It was like that in first century Judaism. Well, Jesus says don't take the important spot. He says, quote, when you're invited, go and sit in the lowest place so that when your host comes in, oops, that part got cut out. So that when your host comes in, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. The Latin's actually awesome. Ascende superius. Ascende superius. Ascend higher. Now what this teaches men is service. Take the lowest place. That doesn't deny that he's the leader of the family. But if you look at like the Franciscans, they call the superior of the house servant. This is how they avoid it going to his head. What if fathers were confident enough in their authority to also be the greatest servers in the house? The greatest proof of authority not being opposed to leadership is Jesus himself. The night before he's murdered, what does he do? He washes the feet of the apostles. He says, you call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Okay, number two of three is join St. Joseph's Guild. And although the main point of this guild is to aid the pastor in the manual labor that has to happen around the parish, I would also propose that the Catholic life cannot be lived on its own. I mean, even Jesus sends out the apostles two by two. So if Jesus sends out those closest to him who knew the gospel forwards and backwards, knowing that they needed brothers for the walk, so also we do 2,000 years later. So that's my second encouragement. Join St. Joseph's Guild. And finally, number three, lead the family in the daily rosary. You know, Mary gave 15 promises to individuals and families that pray the daily rosary, not just a decade, but the whole rosary. And I understand with little kids running around, sometimes it can get hectic, but try before your head hits the pillow, yourself at least, as a dad, to get the 5 decades in every day. And this is, there's 15 promises, but I'm just going to read you 5 of them, and then we'll finish the homily with this. This is number 5 to 9 inclusively. And just think about the promise that this gives your family. Remember, the rosary, 20 minutes, I did the math, comes to 1.39% of the day. If you consider that, 20 minutes, all 5 decades, and apply just 5 of these 15 promises, what will be blessed upon your family? How could it not be worth 1.39% of your day to do all 5 decades? Okay, number 5. Those who trust themselves to me, this is Mary speaking to St. Dominic, those who trust themselves to me through the rosary shall not perish. There you have a promise, your kids won't go to hell. Doesn't get better than that. Number 6, those who recite my rosary devoutly, meditating on its mysteries, shall not be overwhelmed by misfortune. The sinner shall be converted, the just shall grow in grace and become worthy of eternal life. How many of you have someone in your family who is a sinner that needs to be converted? This is Mary's promise. Number 7, those who are truly devoted to my rosary shall not die without the sacraments of the church. A promise that your children will not die without the sacraments of the church if you do the daily rosary. Number 8, those who recite my rosary shall find in their life and at their death the light of God, the fullness of his graces, and shall share in the merits of the blessed. And number 9, last one I'll read today, Mary says, I shall deliver very promptly from purgatory the souls devoted to my rosary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.